I'd like to bring a message this morning. I've entitled Non-Essential. And non-essential. Exodus chapter 5. Do you know throughout Scripture that many instances come up of the children of God being labeled non-essential? And we're going to see a perfect example of that here this morning in Exodus chapter number 5. And give a little bit of a background leading up to this. You folks know this probably very well, but just for sake of context here, that Moses has been commanded to go back to his hometown and face some of his foes, and with the purpose and intention of letting him know that God spoke to him and said, "Let my people go." And he goes back, and you know the whole thing that goes and happens, and Pharaoh says, "No, you're not going to go. You're not going to leave. You're going to stay here and work, and you're going to do and serve us." And Moses said, "We are commanded to go." And Pharaoh, in no uncertain terms, says, "No, you're non-essential. Your God and your little religion, your little thing you want to do out in the desert and worshiping the Lord is non-essential." And Moses says, "No, we are essential." And we're going to look at that in a minute. Now, let me just say again that we have been labeled, and praise the Lord that in recent days that we've been able to open back up and been able to meet together and all of that. And we're so thankful for that. But all the way back in about March 25th, 24, 25, the governor in particular labeled our congregating together as non-essential, right? And very clear on that. She grouped us together with businesses, and we're not a business, right? We're not a profit. We're a non-profit business. We understand clearly from the scriptures, but she grouped us together with all businesses that were non-essential. Now, let alone that the marijuana dispensaries, they're essential. And the alcohol stores selling alcohol, they're essential, okay? Other things are, we could go through, and we already been through some of that recently. We're shaking our heads at it. But that's the time we live in. Now, we're going to see very interestingly here, Pharaoh says the same thing. You are non-essential. Notice here chapter 5, verse 1, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.' And Pharaoh said," notice this, "'Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go.' And they said, 'The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with a sword.' And the king of Egypt said unto them, 'Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people go from their works? Get you unto your burdens.'" He says, get back to work. "And Pharaoh said, 'Behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens.' And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, 'Ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick, as there heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves.'" Now, we'll stop there for a minute. But you see how Pharaoh returns and says, "I don't know the Lord. I don't know your God. Therefore, I will not let you go." Now, again, we're coming back to this, and it ought to bother you as a Christian, as I know it does, but that we're labeled non-essential. That they're saying you don't matter. It's not an essential thing. You're gathering together as a social thing. You're gathering together so that you can praise and sing songs and you can read the Bible. That's not essential. And that bothers us. That irritates us. In fact, that angers us in a lot of ways. And we are being obedient to a lot of those requests. We have been. But it comes to a point where, as Peter and John said, right, we ought to obey God rather than man when it comes down to it. And thinking about this, the non-essential accusation from the world. Now, a couple things here. Let me say, first of all, why are we here today? Number one, there's the command of God. Verse 1, he says, the Lord said, let my people go. There's a command of God, isn't there? Why are we here today? Somebody may ask. We say, well, we're not here for a social club. I mean, we could socialize throughout the week. We're not here to get together just to have a little party or have something to get together to do on Sunday mornings. You folks are very busy. You have 1,000 other things you could be doing. You could be at home. You could be sleeping in. You know, I don't know if any of you sleep in. Be sleeping in, you could be taking a break, you could be working on your projects, you could be working on a hobby, doing something, I don't know what it is. We're meeting together today because we're commanded to, right? We're commanded to meet together. Why do you do what you do? Why do you have the standards you have? The Bible. Why do you go where you go? Why do you have what you have? It's the Bible. We come back to the command of God. Now notice, there's a priority of the obedience. The priority of the obedience to the command of God. We're following the Word of God. We're trusting the Bible. And we have a priority of the obedience. Now, I don't know what your priorities in your life are, but we ought to have a priority of obedience. That's at the top of my list, obeying the Word of God and doing what the Word of God tells me to do. Now, the world will never understand this, do they? Why do you obey? They won't understand that, right? They don't understand any of that. They don't understand anything of the Bible. Again, as Paul points out to us in the book of 1 Corinthians, that the spiritual man discerns spiritual things. The unspiritual person cannot understand spiritual things, can they? And so very clearly, we're here today because of a priority of the obedience. Listen to 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, "Hath the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." He says you got to obey better than sacrifice. And sometimes if you're like me, and we think about the churches of Revelation, how that they had so much Christian activity, didn't they? So many things going. They're busy. By the way, busyness does not equal spirituality. Right? So many times I get off and, if I'm busy, I'm doing all that I can, Lord, for you, that you'll be pleased with that. God says, well, not really. We got to come back and say, I want to obey. And kids, this is a very good point for all of us here. I group myself with you. Kids, obey. Obey, right? Obey. Why do I have to obey? Well, number one, the Bible says so. But there's a promise with that obedience, isn't there? There's a promise. You don't want to know what happened under the law for a kid that disobeyed their parents, right? I read that the other day. I forgot about that. I was reading through and I thought, whoa, good night. That's kind of harsh. And there was an instance there of a young man who was blaspheming God and disobedient to his parents. And Moses said, Lord, what should we do with this kid? And he said, you know what to do. Bring him out and kill him and kill him. And we think about, but I'm saying, coming back to the priority, the importance, the high price that God puts upon obedience to Him. Samuel says, obey, obey. Jeremiah 11, verse 7, he says, "For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying," what? "Obey my voice." God says, I protest every day to your people, to the people of God, and say, obey my voice. Obey my voice. Obey my voice. Now listen, there's the command of God. We are essential today in our eyes and in the eyes of God, obviously, and in the Bible's, according to the Bible standards, we're essential. And we ought to obey the command of God. Too many churches today and people today, Christians today, don't obey the Word of God, do they? They don't follow through with it. They don't heed the warnings of the Bible. They don't take it to heart. They treat it as if it's just something of a side note and occasionally open it up. And so therefore, we cannot understand and know the commands of God. Command. Peter said we ought to be a God rather than men. In the book of Galatians, as I hurry through this here, we see that he said, who bewitched you? Galatians 3:1, that you should not obey the truth. Galatians 5:7, ye did run well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? Do you see that? Obeying the truth. We ought to obey the truth. Who hindered you? Who stopped you? Who stopped you? So there's the command of God. Notice the priority of obedience. Number two, the problem with priorities. The problem with priorities. So many people have their priorities backwards, their priorities confused in today's society. It's work, it's money, and then everything else kind of falls into place under that. That ought not to be, we know. But that the problem of priorities. God says, I am asking you, I'm actually commanding you to prioritize me in your life. And when you prioritize God and the Bible and the church, listen, you're promised blessings, aren't you? God has promised to take care of you and provide and do all that thing. But there's a problem with priorities. And Pharaoh said, you are not a priority. He said, your priority is that you stay and work. Your priority is that you build these great buildings and edifices and the things of like that. That's your priority. Your priority is to take care of our kingdom. Your priority is to be a slave and do whatever we ask you to do. That's your priority. And Moses said, actually, it's not. Who gives you the right to change our priorities? And he comes back and says, well, God, the command of God. Can I encourage you today with that? What are your priorities in life? Yes, we know it's the Lord, and we know it's our walk with Him, and we know it's prioritizing our marriage, prioritizing our children, prioritizing all those things, but so often we get off on that, don't we? we forget, we get confused and get off of the priority of life. Going through some of these verses here, 1 Samuel 12:14, if you will fear the Lord, serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. If you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. He makes it very clear. If we follow the Lord, follow through, obey him, there's blessing. The God of heaven will take care of us. If you don't, it's not confusing, is it? The Bible is simple to understand. The problem is applying the Bible. It's simple. If you obey, you'll get what, and really, what you need, but what you want as well. The problem, priorities. I was reading through and a thought came to me, Philippians 4:13, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, or strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ. People take that and you see it all the time. And as sports figures and athletes. Oh, I can do all things through Christ. He'll help me win the fight. He'll help me beat this other team. He'll help me win the prize and get the trophy. But in fact, that's taken out of context, because that verse actually means he strengthens me to do what I'm supposed to do, not what I want to do. And the whole context of Philippians was a church giving, and he's encouraging them to give. And he says, you're able to give the way you're supposed to. You're able to follow through with the Bible and do what he's asked you to do because Christ strengthens you. So many confuse that today by way of their priorities. Well, I want this, and God better provide it, and God better take care of me. God better give me what I want, or else I'm going to have a bad attitude. I'm going to throw a fit. I don't get what I want. No, he strengthens us to do what we're supposed to do. That's the whole emphasis of grace in the New Testament. The grace that's given to us by Jesus Christ, by him came grace, truth. Well, grace helps me to do what I'm supposed to do. Grace doesn't give me the opportunity and authority or legalism to do whatever I want to do. But what it does is it comes back and it says, the grace gives me and helps me, I should say, to do what I'm supposed to do. The grace of God appeared unto all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, live soberly, righteously, all of that. It helps me to do what I'm supposed to do, not whatever. There's several people today preaching that grace, since you have grace, it's okay to do what you need to do. Do whatever you want to do. No, it's wrong. I'm coming back to the priorities in your life. Let me say thirdly under this here, there's the promise with the command. See, God doesn't just command us something and say, okay, have at it, here you go. Figure it out on your own. Go and do it, just do it, because I told you to do it. No, he says, if you do it, I have a promise for you. In fact, you know the one commandment that has a promise with it? What is it? Children, obey your parents. There's that obedience again. I'm sorry, kids, you're doing so good today. You're doing good. But you think about it. There's a promise with the command. And when God commands something to us, he promises us. Now, let's go over, chapter 23. Can you turn over there with me real quick? Chapter 23 of Exodus. Now, notice what he says. Chapter 23 in verse 23:21, beware of him and obey his voice, provoke him not. Notice, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. See, God says, I have a promise with the obedient. You follow through. You do just do what I've asked you to do or commanded you to do. There's a promise with it. There's a promise with it. Our God, as I've said before, is very kind and gracious, as you know that. He's a gentleman. He'll never twist our arms to serve him. He will work in our lives as his children. He will convict us. He will chasten us. He'll do all of that. But listen, he's saying, if you obey me, I'll take care of you. If you follow through and listen to what I say, your life will be blessed. It will be blessed. Obey my voice indeed, he says. Exodus 19, verse 5, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, a peculiar treasure. Not the treasure of the world. Remember Peter says, you're a peculiar treasure, you're a peculiar people, zealous of good works. It's different from the world. It's not flashy and shiny. And that's, again, coming back to the non-essential. The world looks at us and goes, oh, because you don't have all that the world has. Because you're not promoting social justice, because you're not promoting brotherly love and loving everybody no matter what they believe, because you're not ecumenical and joining all religions together, because you're a separatist type of person, or by way of your convictions are according to the scriptures, all of that, right? Because of that, You're not essential. And that's so true, isn't it? And that's what Pharaoh said. You are not essential today. You don't have what you can benefit society with. Deuteronomy 11:27, a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day to go after other gods, which ye have not known. By the way, you know clearly in Scripture, they end up doing that, don't they? He says, you obey me, there's a blessing. They say, oh, well, we'll take our chances. And they go and disobey God. And there's a curse. There's a curse. There's a curse on their life. Let me skip ahead here. Got a couple of verses there. But not only that, there's the command of God. Secondly, there's the confession of disbelief. Now, back in chapter 5, if you go back there with me, chapter 5. Now, notice verse number 2. And Pharaoh said, what does he say? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. There's a confession of disbelief by the world, and they're unashamed to say it. Aren't you fearful of God and what? No, I don't believe in God. I talked to a gentleman a while back. Aren't you concerned about the judgment of God, the wrath of God, etc.? No, because I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. There's a confession of blatant disbelief by the world, by the world. And I truly believe that we see here the question of authority, the question of authority. He says, who is God? Who is he that I should obey him? I don't know him. I don't know him. It comes all the way back to authority for many people. Authority. I refuse to obey authority. Why do we have so many people in prison today? They refuse to obey authority, and they never had an authority. What if so many messed up lives today? Number one, sin. They don't know the Lord, but a problem with authority. Because someone didn't take care of this bad attitude at the age of 4 years old. Now they're 44 years old, and the system has to take care of them, right? The system now has to provide and give them 3 meals a day and take care of them. There's a problem of authority. Genesis chapter 3. Satan says to Eve, what? Hath God said? Is he the authority in all of this? Eve said, oh, I think so. Yeah. He told us this, this, and that. But does he really say that? Do you think he has control? Does he tell everyone what to? I mean, who gave him the right? Why do you got to listen to God? Why do you got to listen to God? A problem with authority. Proverbs 29, verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And that's just a matter of fact that we've seen throughout history, haven't we? Time after time, a dictator rises and an authority rises and bears rule and people suffer. People suffer. And our nation, America in particular today, has forgotten that. And we're more interested in the non-essential things that we see non-essential. The world is. And they're going to put in somebody who has no conviction, no heart for anything of God. And there's going to be, again, as he says, the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Matthew 7:29, for he taught them, Jesus taught them as having one, as one having authority and not as the scribes. Authority. And you know that. That's at the end, right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And they say, boy, all the people marveled because he taught it with as one having authority. And not as the scribes who said, well, God said, God saith, thus saith the Lord. Jesus said, I say unto you. I know the law says that you shouldn't do this and that, but I say unto you. I say unto you. The authority is in Christ. Who do we follow today? We follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here today because Christ commanded us to meet together. Matthew 21:23, and when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things? Who gave you this authority? And I love how Jesus just so eloquent and so, of course, being God, but how he dealt with people. And the next verse, and Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. And he goes on and says, what was the baptism of John? Was it from heaven or of men? And they mumbled together, oh, we can't tell you that. We don't know. He said, well, neither will I tell you what authority. Neither will I. The poor peasant people know who I am and know what the authority I have. But you philosophical, religious leaders, intellectual, theologians can't figure out who I am. And he could have just told him, but he didn't. Because he said later, if I told you, you would not listen. You won't listen. You won't listen. There's a question of authority. Number two, there's the qualification for obedience. Notice what he says, that I should obey. Who is the Lord that I should? I have no obligation to obey. I have no obligation to follow this book. None. They exempt themselves from the obedience. They exempt themselves from obeying this book. We see it today all throughout history. We see it today all throughout society. They just say, well, I'm not part of that. I don't qualify for that. Romans 1, verse 21, you recall Paul says, because that when they knew God, they know God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. People know God. They know who God is, but they refuse to glorify Him as God, right? I know who God is, but I do not acknowledge His authority. I do not acknowledge who He is. I don't follow through. Now, as you know, in Romans chapter 1, after that, there is a horrific digression of these people. It turns into absolute perversion, turns into absolute disgusting things that Paul then describes, right? They knew God, they glorified Him not as God. And when you glorify God not for who He is, bad things happen in your life. You digress in sinful and animalistic and all that kind of nasty stuff behavior. And that's what happens. That's our society today. And God forbid that they close the dispensary and close the liquor store. But, oh, we meet together on Sunday. Boy, you're causing discord and you're causing, social disjustice, they say. They want us to all just get along. They want us to all just come together. No, I won't go on that. Okay. Why should I obey? Why should I obey? I don't obey. I don't have to obey the Word of God. And we come back to, this is what the Bible says, thus saith the Lord. Let me say here hurriedly, there's a concern to obey God's commands. Now notice verse 3, the concern from the people of God. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us, let us go. We pray thee, 3 days journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest He fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. There's a concern to obey the Lord. You ought to have a healthy fear of God, and I know you do, but you ought to have a healthy fear of God. Man, I know they say that we're non-essential, but I think we better just show up to church. I know that they say the Bible doesn't matter, it's archaic, and it was written by men, and there's a lot of mistakes and errors in it, but God said that this is an inspired book, and that it's infallible and inerrant, and it has all that I need. It's applicable for me today in 2020. And so I'll obey God rather than man. I know that the world says I don't need to be moral, and I don't need to have a purity about me, and I need to be careful, and I need to raise my kids according to the Bible and all that. But, right, we go on and on. We think about there's a concern, and you ought to have a concern for obedience and saying, God, I'd rather obey You. And Moses and Aaron said, listen, He met with us and told us to go into the desert. We're not here today, Pharaoh, because we want to be. Moses said, I was living a good life out on the backside of the desert, having my own family, and I didn't want to come back home and deal with this. I didn't want to face you people. I was done with you. I don't want to face some of those things that I had to run from. I don't want to stand here before you, but I am because I have a concern for obedience, a concern for obedience. There was a holy confrontation, a holy confrontation. And when you spend time with God daily, and when you spend time around the Word of God personally, there's a holy confrontation with God. And the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, and the Bible says, this is what I've laid out for you, and there's a holy confrontation. And because of that, you then have a concern to obey all the commands of God and do what God's asked you to do. Do what God's asked you to do. Let me wrap it up here. There's a heated warning, a warning. We're commanded to warn the people. Ezekiel in particular commands us, we need to warn the people as we see here. And we know that. I love the quote that the waves of God's wrath are beating against the dam of His mercy. And one day that dam is going to break. We know that. And God's wrath is going to pour out upon this world, this old wicked world. And He's going to take care of business. But notice there's a concern. There's a heated warning, a holy confrontation. There's a healthy fear of God, a fear of God. And that's what we've lost today. Our politicians and our leaders and even our spiritual leaders have lost a fear of God. I mean, heard one guy preaching this week, and he just talking about Jesus Christ like He's his, buddy old pal that he hangs out on the weekend. And there's nothing, Jesus is our friend and He loves us and cares for us and all of that, but He's not our little buddy and pal that we treat that way. We talk about in the way that He did. I didn't like it. There's a healthy fear. And every time in Scripture somebody came into confrontation with God or with Jesus Christ or the angel, what do? How's it going? No, they fall on their face, don't they? In fear, not in reverence, in fear. And you know that. I won't go through all the verses, but there's a healthy fear of God. We have a fear of God today. Yeah, we fear what man can do, and they can come in and they can take us and maybe arrest us at some point. And there's a fear of the demonic people out there at a certain degree. But, you know, coming down to it, all of us in here, you know, we don't really fear any of that. We fear God. We fear God. And God will take care of us. God will take care of us in all that we do, in our obedience. Let me say lastly here, and I'll wrap it up. Notice the cynical response, though, verse 4. The cynical response. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you under your burdens? I don't know God, but what are you doing stopping all the people from working? Get you to your burdens. He tells Moses and Aaron this, the leaders. Get back to your work, you slave. Get back to your work. You're nothing. You're no good. You don't contribute to society, they say. Now notice the accusation of personal gain. You're here today because you want to prove a point. They said that. You're here meeting today in church because you want to prove a point, because you want to show that you aren't scared of the government, aren't scared of us, and aren't scared. No, we're here today because of the command of God. He told us to meet here. He told us to show up to church. He told us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. He told us to be obedient. He told us and gave us the commands of God and the authority that He'd given. The accusation of personal gain. Oh, you're here today because of your own pride, you proud Christians. Notice the alleviation of the duty. Alleviation of duty. You're just trying to get out of it. You don't, this is the term they say, you don't contribute to society, right? You don't contribute. You keep your kids out of the public school system. You don't contribute here. You're not involved in these things over here. You don't contribute. We think back, and I won't get into all that. Okay, alleviation of duty. The attack upon their motives. What's your motives? You know, people are going to attack your motives. Fellow Christians are going to attack your motives. Step out by faith for God and live for Him. They're going to attack your motives. You're doing it because you're selfish. You're doing it because of your own whatever the case is, right? No. And kids, obey your parents, right? Why? It's not because we have some self-centered motive, is it? Oh, they're trying to keep me from having fun and do all the things I want to do. No. What are we doing? We are trying to point you in the right direction. We're trying to protect you. And when you follow God and you trust Him and you keep the commandments of God, He will take care of you. The cynical response from the world, the attack upon their motives, the attack. Now, we'll continue this next week, hopefully, Lord willing, as we keep going through this. But you think about, the world has labeled us non-essential. You may have coworkers or friends that have said you're non-essential. We come all the way back to this. And by the way, it's nothing new. You, 4,000 years ago, you have stuff like this. You go throughout history. And those poor believers in the middle, during that dark age period, you had the Lollards and you had the Donatists and you had the Paulicians, those poor little groups of people that simply obeyed this book. That's all they did. They were persecuted, they were murdered, they were tortured, and they were killed. By who? By the world, of the world, because they said you're not essential. You're not contributing to the mother church. You're not contributing to society. You're not essential. We can go throughout history and look at all of that. Today, my friends, let me encourage you with this. According to the Word of God and according to God Himself, we're essential. Amen? We're essential. And God has put us here and He's allowed us to meet here today, and I'm so thankful for that. But don't be surprised when the world turns its back on you and the world says you're not essential, you're not important. No, nothing new with us. We've known that forever. Our forefathers told us all about that, didn't they? A confession of disbelief from the world, but the command of God. Don't forget that, the command of God. All right, I'll stop there. And Lord, we do thank You for the opportunity today to meet together. Do we know this world, Father, it's against us, and yet You've given us such freedom to meet together. Lord, we're not enduring persecution today, as so many today. So many Christians across the world are enduring persecution. They're enduring pain. They're enduring all of those things just simply by meeting together as a church and reading their Bibles and living for the Lord. And we don't endure that. Lord, we have been labeled non-essential, but we're thankful for Your grace and protection. We ask that You'd help us, Lord. We're simply obeying the commands of God. That's all we're doing. We're doing what You want us to do because we know there's a promise with that You'll take care of us. Lord, we understand that the world will confess their disbelief and they won't understand, Lord, why we do what we do, but we trust You and look to You. And thank You, Lord, again, for these faithful folks. Help those that couldn't be here today. We pray You'd be with them. Work in their lives, I pray, Lord. Help us and give us opportunity to share the gospel, to invite others to church. And Lord, we pray for that and thank You. Guide us now, Lord. Thank you for our health. Thank you for all that you've done this week. Please continue to lead us. In Jesus' name we do pray. And amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless.